This is Going Public. I'm Dan Woods. If you've ever been doing research in Cape County and needed to find some old documents, maybe old tax records, school records, or maybe you were doing some genealogical research, chances are you made a visit to the Cape Girardeau County Archive Center in Jackson. The center houses documents from every county office, and according to their website, they have some of the oldest records in the state of Missouri, dating back to the late 1790s. I spoke with Archive Center Director Mary Beth Niederkorn and Assistant Director Lyle Johnston to learn more about the Cape Girardeau County Archive Center. For folks who may not know about the Archive Center, Mary Beth, kind of just tell us about the center and what's there and what you all do first.
We are the Cape Girardeau County Archive Center. We are a repository for county records, including circuit court documents such as divorces and marriage records. Actually, the marriage records are with the recorder. But we have documents from basically every county office, from the recorder to the treasurer to the assessor and the county clerk.
And in different formats, do you have some paper, some digital? What kind of formats are things kept in?
It's mostly paper. We don't have very much in the way of digital documentation. We're a very limited staff. It's basically just me and Lyle and a few volunteers. So digitizing has not been something that we have been focusing on. We're more focusing on building indexes so that we're able to find records more easily for people.
It's interesting.
We're paper people.
Paper people? Well, it's funny. It's funny because I just recently spoke with one of the archivists at Kent Library, and I asked about, you know, how things are stored, and it's mostly paper. And I just sort of figured most things would be digital, but he said, you know, there's so many different formats that digital might have to be something that you can open today. In 15 years, if it's stored in a format that's kind of a dead format, you can't get access to that material anymore. So he said paper's the way
exactly.
to go.
Exactly. And there are also security concerns. And to get it properly digitized, I mean, the county recorder here is looking at spending about $50,000 coming up to work on furthering his digitized collection. So you're looking at a lot of money, security issues, manpower, and we just simply don't have those resources here right now. It's something that we're looking at potentially in the future, but not for the time being.
When people walk in, they want to see the original document.
And we got it.
Back to 1785.
Yeah, so what are some of the things that you all have in the archive that folks may not realize they could actually have access to?
Oh, we have marriage records going back to the 1700s.
1798.
Wow.
That's right. We have tax books. So
1821.
Yes, which, as you know, is the year Missouri was founded as a state. And the tax records are the tax records are especially interesting because you can really see information about the Spanish land grants, for instance, and kind of how the land was divided out and parceled up, and who some of the early landowners were and how big their spreads were. That kind of thing is just really interesting to me. Let's see, we also have the Cape Girardeau County Genealogical Society Library, which includes family histories and town histories, county histories, for Cape Girardeau County and some of the surrounding area. And the records we have, such as the tax records, marriages, divorces, probate files, those are excellent supplemental materials to do some really interesting family research. So you can wind up with a full narrative instead of just the bare facts.
Telephone books.
Oh, yes, telephone books.
I had a student ask, come in, do research, and I said, you're going to have to look in telephone books. And he says, what's a telephone book?
Yeah, they're sort of, we don't use those much anymore, do we?
I do.
Yeah, some of us do. Hey, what about, you have school records, too. What kind of stuff would be in the school records that you have?
So the school records are...
they laugh.
Grades, teachers, students. Up to 1956.
And the school records we have are for the defunct schools that were out in the county that were later consolidated into Delta, Oak Ridge, Nell Holcomb, and Cape and Jackson City schools. So you're looking at tiny little towns that may not even exist anymore that had maybe 20, 25 students from first through third or fifth grades. And it's really interesting to look back at the teachers' contracts and kind of see what the teachers were expected to do and what their rates of pay were and how students did, what the remarks on students' report cards were. So the permanent records on these students wound up here.
Right.
So there, I mean, what grades they made in science and mathematics, that's all there too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
We don't have Cape, Jackson, Oak Ridge, some of the other schools that are still open.
Right. We only
got the closed ones.
Okay.
Exactly.
And you have Civil War documents, too. What kind of things are in that collection?
Revolutionary War pensions, Civil War rosters, World War I rosters. We got some World War II. We don't have anything from Vietnam or later wars.
And
we got map drawers and maps from all over the place, Rand McNally down to various county maps up through the years.
Including a 1901 map that shows ownership of different land parcels, which is very helpful.
So I guess most of the folks that visit, are they writing papers? Are they doing research on their genealogy? Who's the typical person who comes in and wants to see different documents, or just could be just anybody?
We welcome just anybody, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the people who come in, there is a class at Southeast Missouri State University in the Historic Preservation Department. We deal with a lot of historic preservation students who are doing projects on buildings or tombstones. So they can look through our cemetery records. Several years ago, we had staff and volunteers at the Archive Center here who were going out and documenting tombstones in cemeteries. And we have some information about some of the people in the Genealogical Society's library. So students can access that. And we do have several people who are coming in for genealogy. And they're not all local. It's kind of surprising to me how many people wound up way out west, say in Colorado or in Texas or California, who call us up and we happen to have information on people they're descended from.
We've had folks come in from New Zealand to Germany.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yes. It's so cool.
And you don't say to a New Zealand person, you sound British, and the lady says, I'm glad you didn't say Australian.
Okay.
But we also have several people who are calling in looking for a copy of their divorce. Now, we have paper copies of divorce files from 2010 back, as far as there are divorce records, so 1800s. Mm-hmm. But the Real ID requires that you prove name changes. So we hear from a lot of people who are getting their driver's license renewed who need a copy of their divorce that was, I mean, I talked with a lady a couple of weeks ago who needed a copy of her divorce from 1974. So we are happy to go pull that record and get a certified copy together for you. So,
One of the things I talked to the archivist at Kent Library about, I want to ask you the same question. Where do you put all of this stuff? You have to have a lot of storage space to store all of this.
7,700 square feet, $500,000 building built in year 2000. The county clerk at the time, Rodney Miller, as well as the, at that time, county commissioners decided all this stuff needed to come in from Common Pleas, rental units, basements.
Closets.
And so it all came in here in 2001, and we've been working on it ever since, 20 years later.
So it was things were scattered all over.
All over.
Yeah.
And the conditions varied widely. We had, there were documents coming in here from places that didn't have temperature control or humidity control, And that can be a problem because that can encourage mold growth, and that can destroy documents.
Yeah.
So it's really a state-of-the-art facility here that is a crown jewel among counties here in southeast Missouri. You don't see this kind of facility just everywhere, and we are incredibly proud of it and honored that we are able to house documents here so that they're accessible for the public and for the county office holders as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so for folks who may not know, tell us exactly where you're located. So if they wanted to come, they'd know exactly where to go.
Our physical address is 112 East Washington Street in Jackson, and we are across the street from the administrative building in Jackson and kind of
northeast corner,
kind of catty corner to the old courthouse.
What's a typical day like for you and life? What's a typical day like at the Archive Center? Or is there a typical day?
There's not really a typical day.
No.
We never know who's going to be on the other end of the phone or who's going to come walking in the door or what's going to come in the mail for us.
It could be somebody coming in to get a divorce that hasn't called us before, a circuit clerk coming in to get a document that somebody's called in over at the new courthouse. We have a regional archivist that works for the state that's here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We have another volunteer that's working on the digitizing the old marriage certificate. She's in here a couple times a week when she comes in, and we're not sure when she comes in, what day she might want to come in.
Mm-hmm.
We've got two volunteers that come in on Thursday, Friday morning.
And they're working on indexing divorces for us.
Yeah.
We work on projects as well. Lyle is working on probates from the 1800s right now. He's archiving those, which means he's removing any metal fasteners that might rust and putting acid-free paper between sheets of, say, newsprint or other paper with a heavy acid content so that it doesn't burn the other sheets in the file.
Okay.
A staple for the first half of the 19th century was a straight pin. And we found plenty of rusty straight pins.
Hmm. Oh, yes. And we found rusty metal brads. And it's really fascinating to see the progression of handwritten documents that are just loose in a folder to handwritten documents that are pinned together or bradded together to the invention of this mechanical stapler to when people started typing documents.
1903 is when they got their first typewriter in the county.
Okay. And I guess these metal pieces, this rusting, that's not good for the documents, right?
No.
No. Very much so.
We're taking out staples like you can't believe in the divorce files and the lawsuits. The biggest set of lawsuits we got is the 1950s and 1960s land acquisition for Interstate 55, and that particular set of lawsuits is 3 feet wide.
My goodness.
To give you an understanding.
Yeah.
Lawsuit A to lawsuit X.
Hmm. How important are volunteers to you guys?
Very important. The work that we do here, basically, the administrative functions and working with people who need help with genealogy and with getting access to documents, government documents, that would pretty well keep us completely busy. We wouldn't be able to make much progress as far as indexing or documenting anything without our volunteers. And we absolutely love and cherish and appreciate everything they do. They are marvelous people.
That's fantastic. So if
we may have days when nobody comes in whatsoever, and other days when we got four tables in here, and before Mary Beth came on board last November, I was the only one working here because the late Steve Pledger had died in March, and the county said that I could stay open, so I was the only one working here. And at one time, I had four tables I was trying to work with, and that's kind of tough to do, keep everybody going on what they're trying to work with, and that's patrons.
Yeah, it sounds like there's always something to do, right?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So if Lyle's working on probates from the 1800s, Mary Beth, are you still working on, I saw an article about a project you were working on documenting an index for former slave narratives. Are you still working on that project?
So I finished the index for the former slave narratives. Mm-hmm. And what I'm working on now is a book that was put together in the 1980s about the slaves and slave owners of Cape Girardeau County. And that book was put together by a researcher named Edison Schrum and also Margaret Mates. Now, Margaret Mates has, after she worked on this book with Edison Schrum, as far as I know, she put together a team of researchers and developed she compiled a bunch of information from probate records and from circuit court records and other sources about the slave trade in southeast Missouri, specifically Cape Girardeau County. Now, that information, I'm working on an index on this book that Mates and Schrum had put together so that we can cross-check it against the kinds of information she has there, as well as a book we have in the Genealogical Society's library called Dark Woods and Periwinkle, which was co-written by Sharon Sanders over at the southeast Missouri. And I had last fall we had a couple of volunteers put together an index for that book. So that way, that book contains obituaries for people who were buried at Shady Grove Cemetery, which was the African-American cemetery down near Dutchtown. So it's really important, I think, to put together as many pathways to connect the information we have contained here, so that people can kind of put together more of a, as I said before, more of a narrative understanding of their own ancestors and other people who lived in the region.
Do people bring items to add to the archive? That I know that happens here at Kent Library with Southeast Missouri State things. Does that happen with things from the county for you all too?
Sometimes we have people bring in books to donate to the Genealogical Society. Usually with actual items, we can send people down to the Cape Girardeau County History Center on High Street in Jackson here. They are just a hop, skip, and a jump from us, and they're more geared toward actual physical items as well as building a research library. So the two institutions, we can work pretty closely with each other, especially whenever there's a researcher in either at our facility or at their facility who maybe the History Center has more information on the Lorimer family, for instance, if someone's looking for information on Louis Lorimer. And we might have some information that they don't have. So that has worked out very well for us so far, and I see that continuing into the future. But as far as adding, most of our collection is strictly county office information. So a lot of the county office holders will have their staff bring over boxes of records and documents for us to add to the collection. And that's really our primary focus and how our mission is geared.
And it sounds like there's always going to always work to be done all the time for you.
Definitely.
All. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
we're not in a big rush either.
No, because that, you know, if you leave it there on the table in the evening, chances are it'll be right there waiting for you the next day.
Now we do have a resident ghost, and every once in a while he will do something.
Does he help?
Yes, his name.
Hopefully, he helps out.
I don't know, but every now and then I've noticed a rolled up map that might be a little further out than necessary. He does have his own business card. He's head spook here.
Joe the Ghost.
And I do say hello to him every morning and goodnight to him every afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's been here since the building got built. And before this, it was a gas station. And before that, I'm not exactly sure, but originally on this site was a livery stable, and the fellow that owned the livery stable was Joe Gonkel, G-O-C-K-E-L. So we just named the ghost Joe.
Well, there you go.
Seemed fitting.
Yeah.
Well, Mary Beth Niederkorn, Lyle Johnston, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
You're welcome. Glad to.
Thank you, Dan.
We've been going public with Mary Beth Niederkorn and Lyle Johnston from the Cape Girardeau County Archive Center. To hear more interviews, visit krcu.org.